Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Worst Foot Forward, the Third Foot, your monthly bonus content. Oh, friends, we've got some guests on our Third Foot episode, and you may have seen us tweeting about a particular Berlin football club early in January, SV Tasmania Berlin, and they have very unique footballing record, which Ben and I thought was very apt for this podcast. They are the self-proclaimed worst team in Bundesliga history, the German version of the Premier League for our English listeners. So what better thing could we do than celebrate a team that celebrates its own ineptitude?
Precisely. We've spoken on previous podcasts about worst footballers and worst football teams, but they all seem to have a little bit of self-sabotage about them more often than not. I regularly think of the Madagascan team who scored 149 own goals to protest against a bad referee.
Yes. But
as you will hear over the next half hour or so, there's something about Tasmania that hits the absolute sweet spot of noble amateurs resolutely out of their depth and determined to wear that as a badge of pride.
Yeah.
And the fact that Tasmania were on the brink of losing potentially one of their records recently of they went 31 straight games without a win, and there was a chance that FC Schalke could have stolen that record from them. And brilliantly, like the underdogs that they are, Tasmania said, No, we want to stay as the worst team in Germany. And so we felt we had to do a show about it. And we tweeted about it, and some members of Tasmania's team got in touch with us. And that is who our guests on the show are now. And Barry, you tell the listeners who we've got on the show.
HDL, introduce yourself. Let the listeners know what your link with Tasmania is, what your role there is.
Yeah, I'm HCL or HCL in German, and the fan coordinator, and also doing the Twitter account of Tasmania. And yeah, we've been pretty overwhelmed by the attention we got through the Schalke thing. We do know that people constantly referring to us as the worst team in the Bundesliga and everything, and we're the bottom of the eternal league table.
Yeah. And, bottom of the eternal league table sounds like some sort of record that Satan is keeping.
Yeah, I feel like that's something out of Norse football.
Yes.
Yeah, there have been like five teams from Berlin actually managed to play the Bundesliga, and some of them didn't do that well either. We're on, I don't know, 58 now, and on 56, I think, is Blau-Weiß 90, which is a club from not so far away.
So that's the 58 teams who have been in the Bundesliga so far, and two of the bottom three are both from Berlin.
Yeah.
To be fair, you say, some people describe us as the worst team in Bundesliga history. Your own Twitter account describes yourselves as historic Bundesliga chokers. That's you, HCL. That's your doing.
I was citating a newspaper.
Okay, fine. Oh, so you're quoting someone else, but using it to describe yourself. And Jamie, you're, HCL, you're the fan coordinator. Jamie, you are an Englishman who has somehow found yourself as a fan of the club.
Yeah, I mean, I live very close to the stadium. So when I moved here, basically, I wanted to start following a football team. I checked out Hertha, didn't really fancy it. went to Union once, the nice stadium, but it wasn't my vibe. And then I came to Tasmania, and it's been a religion for me since. So I arrived.
HCL, maybe we can sort of tell our listeners who maybe don't know the story. There was a big BBC article about it, which is how we came across it. But maybe you can tell us exactly about the record that Tasmania established, and how they came to be as a tiny club in the Bundesliga in 1965, and how that went.
Where to start? I told the story a couple of times, but it's always a little difficult to find the start. So it was in 1965 when Hertha had to go down. The Bundesliga was only 2 years old, so professional football in Germany started only in 63 with the foundation of the Bundesliga.
That means that in 1958, when West Germany won the World Cup, they were a team of amateurs. Is that right?
58 was Brazil.
No, 58 was Brazil. Excuse me, it was 54.
54.
Well, that makes it even more irritating.
Yeah. It took England, a completely professional league, another 12 years to win it.
Before that, the German champion was only... was it an extra competition after the normal associations have their winners each season? So after the regular season, the German champion would have an extra little championship.
So it'd be like a playoff system, like in a lot of like American sports. Yeah.
And the Bundesliga was the very first national league that was going that was doing their own season. And when it all started, there had to be a club from Berlin because Berlin was still West Berlin, so the western part, and it was divided and everything, and we had the Berlin Wall, and there were like three clubs in Berlin which were any good. That was Hertha BSC, of course, Tennis Borussia, and Tasmania.
I have to say, by the way, those are such delightfully odd names for football clubs. I appreciate that. It seems to me, you know, the standard names in this country is Rovers or Wanderers or United. I know that Borussia is a Latinized version of Prussia. I don't know whether Hertha is regular, but to have clubs in a major city named football clubs named after both a tennis club and a small island off the coast of Australia is baffling.
Well, the name is in fact a little awkward because most of the German clubs really had to make a statement in their names that they're patriotic also, because originally the football was the English sport, and it was a little bit like, patriotic people are more into Turner, which is gymnastics, like make
weightlifting and things like that. Yeah.
Things like that.
But I read the Tasmania thing came because the people who founded the club emigrated almost immediately. So they first set up a football club and then just left, or they wanted to leave.
They actually wanted to leave. The district already had a migration history because it was two villages. One was had German origin, and the other one had Bohemian origin. And it was always a poor district, and it was known for a lot of booze and a lot of breweries and gambling and all kinds of nasty stuff. So
to escape that, they decided they wanted to move to Australia.
Yeah, they wanted to find a better place.
Yes.
Yeah. And,
first of all, Tasmania had a good chance to become the first Berlin team in the Bundesliga, but they changed the regulations like on very short notice. Originally, the best team in the last 3 years would go up, and then they changed it and said the best team of the last 5 years would go up, and that was Hertha. With the other calculation, it would have been Tasmania. But
I really empathize with that, because that is how our government is calculating our self-employed support grants at the moment. Yeah. I'm like, I really wish you were calculating off the past 3 years, not the past 5 years, mate. Yeah.
It's like trying to buy a nice house and getting the mortgage, and you're just trying to get the right period for them to calculate it. But yeah, you kind of got your revenge with Hertha being relegated.
Exactly.
You got to replace them.
Exactly. Was playing Bundesliga, and of course they had difficulties to get players from abroad, because like people had to move to Berlin, and Berlin is as far away from everything else because it was an island in the Eastern Bloc. So they were paying the extra money to their players, which was strictly forbidden at the time.
FFP to begin with.
Yes, very early FFP. And also, just for people who might not be up to date with their Cold War history, obviously Berlin being a dual city, as you say, cast adrift in the island of East Germany. But this season we're talking about, 65-66, it is only 3 or 4 years after the Berlin Wall was built. So Berlin was an astonishing flashpoint of the Cold War. Mm-hmm. And yet, here were these two football clubs making it into the Premier Division.
The thing that gets me is that Tasmania were like a good club. Like you said, they could have been one of the founding members of the Bundesliga. They were, I think, were they third in the regional Berlin League? And that was why they were sort of invited to replace Hertha.
Had to go down, and they had to find another Berlin club. They even had to change the number of teams in the Bundesliga from
Yes.
16 to 18, so that Schalke didn't have to go down, and another team from Berlin was able to go up. So what they did is they made the Bundesliga an 18-team league, and then they went to Tennis Borussia, asking them, and they said, no. We already lost in the qualification, and we're not going up. And then they've been asking the second in the Berlin League, and they said, no, it's just 2 weeks' time or 3 weeks' time. We were not able to compete with the Bundesliga, because the Bundesliga already was professional football for 3 years at the time. So it was a significant difference. The first clubs in the Bundesliga, like they were magnets for all the good players. So,
Yeah, Tasmania were next on the list, I guess.
yeah, Tasmania was next on the list, and they should have been at the place in the first place. And yes, this is the chance which would probably never come again. And we just have to do it. So they had to try to find all the players that were on holiday in the radio programs. If you are a player of Tasmania, please call
That's incredible. It's got a real sort of Ocean's 11 feel to it.
Yeah, getting the team back
Getting the
together.
team back together.
Because like you said, it was only 2 weeks before the season started. It wasn't
Yeah.
like a couple of months' time. It was, oh, we need to make this change. We need who's free?
And they were all amateurs. They were all having their regular jobs, and they have their yearly holiday. And some of them are saying, no. This is my holiday. I'm not spending it for Tasmania. I'm not coming back.
I
So
just have this
good.
image of like a guy in a bar somewhere in Spain hearing this on the radio, downing a Stein and being like, I must return home to Berlin. And
With
then
the
another
bat
one, like,
signal going up.
right, yeah, no, the kangaroo signal,
The
please.
kangaroo signal in the sky. I'm needed.
Tasmanian devil, perhaps.
Your Tasmania devil. Yeah, exactly. They started quite well, given the chaotic sort of prelude. They beat Karlsruhe 2-0 in the first game, right?
They beat Karlsruhe, and of course, because of all the media before that. I mean, this all the media was on television, like Tasmania is going up, and so it was, of course, a big thing for all the Berliners. Oh, now Tasmania has a chance. Let's go there and see them.
They had a
So,
huge crowd. They played in the Olympic Stadium and they had like 80,000 people at the first match.
yeah.
Which, given that your stadium now is a lovely little stadium which holds 3,500 people or so,
Yeah.
it's a huge stage for them to suddenly be on, isn't it?
Of course. And they were so proud, and they've been playing in front of, I don't know, maybe 10,000 people, already a lot. So the average audience at the time was like a couple of thousand, 10,000, 12,000, maybe 20,000 on very big matches. But that was the numbers the players are used. But now 80,000 is still quite a difference. So they were completely.
It's a bit
overawed.
like,
yeah, it's a bit like someone who does amateur dramatics for their local drama society suddenly being given the lead in a Hollywood film, and they suddenly have all of this attention on them, and they obviously they had a high in that first match, but then the pressure maybe got them. Just Jamie, if I can ask you, as a, you know, as a devoted fan, do you have like, is there season tickets? There's only 300 seats in the stadium. Do you have one of them reserved? What's your
No, I mean, it's more of a home side than an away side. I mean, the season ticket's not bad. It's about 100, €120 or something like that for the season. So it's very doable at the end of the day.
What perks does it get you?
I think there used to be a VIP section, but I'm not sure that's still there anymore. It comes and goes, depending on. I mean, like our average gate is somewhere between 2 to 400 or something like that. So, it's pretty good to easy to socially distance while you're there as well.
It's a very positive way of looking at it. But then, yeah, after that first win, the record run began, didn't it?
Yeah, from that everything there was no win anymore. So the not the very last one, but the 32nd match or 33rd was like the only other win against the other team that was going down. So,
so yeah, 31 game streak without a win.
Yeah, they did manage. They did manage. I think one, maybe two draws. The most impressive draw that I saw was against Borussia Mönchengladbach, who fans of European football will know are a proper football team. They're, you know, regulars in the UEFA League, and they had amongst them World Cup winners Günter Netzer and Bertie Vogts, and their coach Hennes Weisweiler was absolutely furious. I've never seen my team play so badly. And when they got that draw, you remember their first ever match was in front of 81,000 people. This match was in front of 1% of that, 857 people. And what I love about Tasmania is there's all sorts of gallows humour around it that I enjoy so much. And there's your star player, and I'm going to absolutely ruin his name because it's a tricky one to say, was a chap called Horst Szymaniak. And sorry, Horst, not horse. Horse. It wasn't a chap.
No wonder they didn't win any games. They were playing horses.
But he played for Internazionale in Italy. He was part of the team of the tournament at the 1958 World Cup. He was a proper world-class footballer who, in this newspaper article I read, was surrounded by a team of manual workers. And I just love this idea of, like, you know, the equivalent of Lionel Messi surrounded by 10 gauchos from Argentina.
Because Kaiserslautern are another good football team, and they were the one team that didn't manage to beat Tasmania. They got two draws against them. Do you get to needle and, like, poke fun at Kaiserslautern still?
Ah, no, that's too long. That has been too long ago. It's sometimes on social media, sometimes people are taking a piss out of it, but it's nothing that is particular.
That is very noble of you, because in the article I read about Tasmania, talking about how they're sort of a well-known shorthand in German football. One of the most well-known shorthands in English football is about my football club, Newcastle, being knocked out of the FA Cup in 1972 by Hereford Town, and a chap called Ronnie Radford, who scored a 35-yard screamer on a pitch that should have had horses on it.
It looked cobbled, the pitch.
It did.
It looked cobblestones, yeah.
Yes, it did. And yeah, almost 50 years on, that is still things that Newcastle fans will get needled with.
Yeah.
There was other little delightful things. I read quite a lot of interviews with the captain of the team at the time, who was a chap called Hans-Gunter Becker, mm-hmm. who I think took his role in a very stoic way. He talked about one journey where they went away, they lost 4-0, and he said, oh, that was a good result. And when it didn't work out, we took the defeat with a good dose of humour. Before every game, we said, each game starts 0-0.
Or obviously now you've sort of find it funny and you make it the club's identity. At the time, was it quite an upsetting thing where people, or were people like the captain, like Ben said, quite stoic about it?
Of course, like if you would have been a regular Tasmania supporter, you would have been crying all the time. But of course, like you can't get angry about it, because like the situation was, they just took a chance and they were unlucky, and nobody was really mad about them or something. Mm. So it's just bad luck, and of course people were sad, but not too, it wasn't too bad. They just continued. They went down to the association league again, and of course they tried to go up again, so they hired good players, and then they went bankrupt. Mm. And the youth department decided to found a successor, and we really, really like this part of the story, like the youth department saving the name in German football.
I suppose that's the where you've kind of turned that one bad season into a positive thing. You've sort of, the club stayed alive and it's built a reputation on this season. you lost 10 matches in a row that season, which is a record, which was tied by a team called Arminia Bielefeld mm-hmm. in 2000, and their fans began to chant Tasmania Bielefeld at them during the match.
there's a lot of that kind of stuff, like Tasmania getting mentioned when anyone comes close to any record.
But that's I suppose where the interest from us came, is because the record was under threat this season. And Jamie, maybe you can tell people about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Tasmania did it in one season, is the first thing to say.
And yes, yeah. across one season, yes, that's true.
We've only played one season, so that is the case. But yeah, I mean, it's a winless run, so 31 games without a win. So that includes a couple of draws, I should imagine,
yeah,
in that time. And Schalke came close to it, but we sent our expedition of fans to make sure it didn't happen, and it seemed to work out in the end.
Yeah, so Schalke are a good team. For people who don't know football, Schalke were in the Champions League a year or two ago, and suddenly they've gone on this terrible run, and they got to 30 games without a win. And that's when people are like, the Tasmania record is under threat. And to be clear, Schalke's previous longest record run without a win was 16 games. So this is...
Yeah, they were doing a job.
you literally, fans from Tasmania went, and because the stadiums are closed at the moment, but they were cheering outside the stadium for Schalke.
Obviously, socially distanced, standing outside the stadium, waving flags, trying to give some power to Schalke.
Saying protect your record and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so good.
As a club, we are protective of it.
No, you should be. German football fans are an absolute world apart. I was lucky enough to go to Borussia Dortmund a few years ago, and it was frustratingly, it was at the end of Jurgen Klopp's time, so it was when Dortmund were on a really bad run of form. But even so, just the yellow wall, which again for non-British or non-European listeners is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, football stands in the world, and is full of ultras. Now, sometimes calling fans ultras has got a bit of a dark connotation.
No, I think they're just very, very passionate people.
Yeah.
I just love the club without any kind of, fear.
Yeah, precisely. That was the point I was going to make. Dortmund ultras are off the scale, and everyone was so friendly. They could tell me and my five mates were a bunch of Brits lost abroad and not really sure what was going on other than the football.
Yeah.
But I love that, like, you've got that with Tasmania. And the other famous German football club that I love and will one day go visit is St. Pauli, who are essentially the bohemian metalhead football club.
Yeah. But the thing that's remarkable is that Schalke didn't lose or didn't draw this last match in the streak. They stopped on 30 because they beat Hockenheim 4-0. It wasn't just a scraped 1-0. They suddenly got this result out of nowhere.
The floodgates opened, clearly.
For that one game, I think.
Yeah. I'd like to hope that the Schalke manager on that day did like a real sort of rabble-rousing Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday speech, but really focused on Tasmania's legacy and go, we don't want to steal this from this football team.
I should imagine so. Either that, they were doing like a live cam of the fans outside.
Yeah. There hadn't been fans in the stadium for ages, so even the sound of some fans of a different football club outside in the car park was enough to raise their spirits. But there's a really amazing bit of symmetry, because your last game in the 65-66 season in the Bundesliga was against Schalke, and you lost 4-0. Amazing, amazing little bit of like crossover history there.
That's, I mean, you say crossover, that's the bit where I go, the writers of reality are just being a bit lazy.
Yes, yeah, it seems too coincidental. There was another record that you had. You've got the biggest losing margin for a home game in the Bundesliga. There was a 9-0 loss against Meidericher SV in March 66. And Bayer Leverkusen were beating a team, SSV Ulm, 9-0 in 2000. Until Ulm scored a goal in injury time.
Ulm for Ulm.
Yeah, so I guess you have a record of maintaining these records by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah, and every time Tasmania is mentioned in on the news, and which of course helps us, even young people have heard about it. So
So do you have merchandise that you sell that like promotes the club's record and this sort of thing?
We sold quite a few scarves. You never fail alone, scarves with Tasmania and Pride on it.
As a Liverpool fan, I appreciate that immensely.
And you know what? As a Newcastle fan, I would really like to see Steve Bruce's Newcastle organise a pre-season friendly with Tasmania and grind out a 0-0 draw. I think we can hold you guys. I think we can do it.
I really like that. Because you run the Twitter account, and someone said, "Oh, you should have a." You know, someone posted how long it had been that the record had stood, and you made a comment about how you'd considered putting a clock up in the stadium to keep the count of how many years and months and days and hours it has been since the record has been established.
Yeah, you do know about the Hamburg clock?
No, go on.
Hamburg had a clock. Counting the days and hours since they've been part of the Bundesliga. So, and since Hamburg was in the Bundesliga from the very beginning, this already had a couple of years on it. And then Hamburg had to go down recently, only recently. So they had to they had to remove the clock. And
have you considered buying it? I mean, they could have just given it to you, and it's roughly the right length of time still for you guys.
Exactly.
Just wind it back a few years.
Yeah, exactly. And that.
As a matter of fact, we found a sponsor who's paying for it. So we'll get a small one, not a big one, but we're getting a small one just below the scoreboard.
Oh, that's very good. That's really, really nice. That's going to be up there with the "You'll Never Walk Alone" sign in Anfield, the two clock towers in the old Wembley Stadium as one of the iconic images of football stadiums around the world. And we talked about the world's worst football team on the podcast in the past, and we talked about a Brazilian club called Ibis Sport, who went 3 years and 11 months without winning a game in the early 1980s. And a bit like you guys, they were very protective of their record. They went on a run of, I think, three or four games, winning games in 2017. And their fans started protesting, saying, "No, we're famous for being a terrible club. We need to stop winning games." They said, "This is worrying."
I'm not sure we're that committed.
Yeah. Well, you're doing quite well now. You're top. Well, before COVID, you were top of the. Is it sort of the fifth level in German football that Tasmania play in at the moment? Something like that.
So we won two things ago, the Berlin League, which is basically because Berlin's a city state. So it has its own setup, and then we got promoted to the Oberliga, and we've done quite well, largely partly because of COVID. Because we've, in the brief times we've played, we've won a few games, and but you know, as things have happened, we've had calculations and whatnot for last season, and obviously we had the start to this season, and again we've had a good start, so we're just hoping we get a chance to try and put some more points on the board later in the season.
And do you play in, like, is there in the German equivalent of the FA Cup? Do you occasionally have matches against some of the big teams in the Bundesliga?
You have to win the Berlin Cup to qualify, or the German Cup, if that kind of makes any sense.
Okay, so it's not like you don't quite have the same thing of like non-league and lower league teams knocking out Bayern Munich and things like that.
Well, we could. We only would have to win the Berlin Cup, and luckily the Bundesliga teams are not competing in the City Cup, so it's only clubs from the regional league, which is one higher. One higher is something that is doable if you're having a good day. So we are hoping to get into the finalists this year.
Because obviously different countries have different footballing infrastructures, hearing about you talking about city leagues and state leagues, when you talk about winning the Berlin Cup, in my mind you're playing five-a-side, and that's I don't know why, just a city cup sounds like something that a five-a-side team would win, and then if you win that and then suddenly you're in the German Cup, you're like, shit, we got to find five more players.
Six,
yeah. Oh yeah.
So we have a cup for our district, if that makes any sense.
Wow, it goes even sort of more specific.
Cup, and then the Berlin Cup, and then the German Cup. So the cups are different states.
That's quite. Then you've got quite a long way to go to get to. You've got to work hard to get your accolades in German football. Then that is quite point. German. You really put your people through the tests. Got to work your way up correctly.
That's it.
Well, I have to say thank you guys so much for coming and chatting to us, because I literally just tweeted the article and saying what a very appropriate team this is for the podcast rather to come across. And HCL, you very kindly got in touch, we're delighted we could set this up. We encourage our listeners to go and visit your Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, HCL?
SV_Tasmania_BLN.
Yes.
Because Berlin was too long.
And you can go and follow their progress. Hopefully more football will happen as things begin to open up again after COVID. Buy a scarf. In fact, the first listener to this podcast who tweets us a photo of them wearing an SV Tasmania scarf, we'll do a special 5-minute bonus episode just for you guys.
I agree with that. And I think we know what one of our day trips is going to be when we get a bit more Patreon support. Hop on an easy jet over to Berlin and let's go and cheer on Tasmania getting hoiked 7-0.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, HCL. Thank you guys for listening to Worstwood Forward. And we'll see you next time.